right, Mark chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 40 to 45 this morning. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse number 40 and down to the end of the chapter. Let's go ahead and read those verses, and that gives us the context. And remember, Jesus has been preaching throughout Galilee, and as far as we know, he's still in Galilee at this point, and he's been ministering and healing people, and we saw different aspects of his ministry in the last few weeks. But here was verse number 40, it says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him or begging him, kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and says unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. And he saith unto him, see thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. The story today is about leprosy. A man that had leprosy. We don't know a whole lot about leprosy today. We don't hear about that too much. It's not a real popular, common problem and disease today. But leprosy in Bible days was a very, very severe and dreaded disease. Leprosy, as Albert Barnes describes for me, let me just read a paragraph that he gives us in his commentary that it helps us understand what leprosy really was. All right? He says there, no disease with which the human family has been afflicted has been more dreadful than that which is often mentioned in the Bible as the leprosy. It first exhibits itself on the surface of the skin. There is a form of the disease in which commences at the extremities, joints separate, and fingers, toes, and other members, one by one, fall off. And the malady thus gradually approaches the seat of life. The wretched victim is thus doomed to see himself dying piecemeal, assured that no human power can arrest for a moment the silent and steady march of this foe to the seat of life. So basically, this leprosy was a disease that would rot off your fingers and your toes and your nose and your ears. And little by little, your hands would fall off. And eventually, it would eat enough away of your body that you would die. It was a slow, miserable, stenchful, terrible death. And here's a man that had leprosy that came to meet Jesus. And like leprosy, sin is also an incurable and dreadful problem that man has. And there is no human cure for sin outside of God's salvation. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we look at this passage this morning, because we're going to be looking at the physical leprosy, but I want to also make some applications to the spiritual leprosy of sin that is a plague to the human race. And so keep those things in mind, and it'll help us to better understand as we work our way through. If that fan up there is bothering you, Rob, you can turn it off over there, that white box on the wall. Okay? It doesn't bother me. It's up to you. Okay. All right. So this morning as we look at this, I want us to notice three responses that Jesus had to the leper's request for healing. The leper came to him and said, Jesus, you're able, if you would, to heal me. And I want us to notice three responses he gave him. First response we see is a response of compassion. Verses 40 and 41, it says there again that, and there came a leper to him, beseeching or begging him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now, as we look at this, we see here his compassion was stirred. Compassion, that pity that he had for him. Now, as far as we know, Jesus is still in Galilee, up in the northern part of Israel, around the Sea of Galilee, preaching and ministering in that area. He had been in Capernaum, which is on the north coast of Galilee, and now he's in that area, whether he's in, probably not in Capernaum proper, but around that area of the northern part of Israel. And this leper comes to him and with a deep sense of need. And we see it was a deep sense of need because Luke in his gospel, and you see in your bulletin, I put down the parallel passages in there, and you can look up those. But in Luke, when he talks about it in chapter 5, verse number 12, he says that the man was full of leprosy. It was probably in the advanced stages. He had leprosy all over his body. His fingers and toes were starting to rot and fall off. He probably stunk. You could probably smell him from a long ways away as his flesh was rotting. It was a vile and filthy and just disgusting disease. And this man was full of these problems, and it was giving him great grief. And he came to Jesus for help. And by law, such a leper was not allowed to come too close. You know, the scriptures tell us what was expected of them. Back in the Old Testament, there's quite a bit written about the lepers. And in Numbers chapter 5, verse number 2, it says that they were to be put out of the camp. They were not allowed to live at home anymore. You get leprosy, you had to put yourself up a little tent outside of the camp, outside of town, outside in the woods somewhere, away from people because you weren't allowed to be around people because it was spreading. Others would get it. Not only that, but we read in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45, and it says, And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent or torn, and his head shall be bare, so he's going to shave his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and he shall cry, unclean, unclean. So he's to wear kind of a mask around his face, and anytime he'd see somebody, he'd say, unclean, unclean. Why would he do that? So they'd stay away. He was not allowed to be near anybody. It was a miserable life that the lepers had. And yet we find that he came to Jesus. Perhaps some people saw him coming and said, look out, here comes that leper. Run, stay away. He must be coming to Jesus. And they just got away from him. Nobody wanted to be near him. You could probably smell him because of all the decaying flesh. It was a stench. It was a terrible situation. And he's coming to Jesus. And Luke tells us that this miserable, smelly leper fell on his face before Jesus. He came to Jesus, fell on his face. Over in the book of Matthew says he worshipped Jesus. Now, it's basically the same thing because worship, the technical term for worship, is to bow down before. So he's falling on his face, according to Luke. Matthew describes it as worshipping Jesus. Mark here says that he fell on his knees before Jesus, begging him. So we see this leper come to Jesus. He's on his hands and knees in his face, begging Jesus, oh, Jesus, please help me. You know, everybody else has fled, you know, they get out of here. There's that leper. And Jesus didn't run as everyone else did. Jesus had compassion upon him. And notice the words of the leper. He says there, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, what does that mean? What he's saying is, if you will, if it's your will, I know you are able to make me well. So he had faith that Jesus was able to heal him, but he wasn't sure that it was what God wanted to do. He said, if you're willing, I know you can do it. And so he came to Jesus with that plea, begging Jesus for cleansing and healing. And yet he had no idea for sure whether Jesus would do it. And this stirred Jesus' compassion. And compassion is pity. It's his inner feeling toward the man, this pity type feeling that he had. And pity was something, or compassion was something that Jesus had frequently throughout his ministry. We find several examples of that. Let me just mention a few. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36, we find there that Jesus had compassion on the people, saying that they were a sheep without a shepherd. They're wandering around in the fields with an old shepherd to guide them. And he had compassion upon them. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 32, Jesus had compassion on the crowd that had come to hear him preach. And they were hungry. They'd been with him for several days and they were hungry. And the disciples said, send them away, Lord, so they can get something to eat. And Jesus had compassion on them and said, no, I'll feed them. He had compassion on them, pity in his heart for them. We find another example in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34. He had compassion on a blind man. Blind man came to him begging for his eyesight, and Jesus had compassion and healed him. Luke chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus had compassion on the widow at Nain. Jesus would go into Nain, a town not too far from where he grew up. And he, as he got near the town, he could see a procession of people coming out of the town headed for the burial ground. They're carrying a body in a casket headed for the burial ground. They're going to bury this widow's son, young man. The only one left that she had, she was a widow. She had no one left in life to care for her. Now her son died. It sounds like he was a young man, not yet married, but he was a young man able to help take care of her. And they're taking him out to bury him. And Jesus had compassion on that widow. And as they came near, Jesus did what no one would dare to do. He walked up and he put his hand on the casket. It's like, oh, don't do that. You'll be unclean. No one was allowed to do that, but Jesus did. And I don't know whether the guys carrying it set the thing down or whether they're still holding on it, but Jesus spoke to the dead man and said, arise. And he sat up in his casket. And if they hadn't set him down before, they probably dropped him then. I mean, to have this guy sit up. But he was alive. Jesus raised him from the dead. Why? Because Jesus had compassion on that widow and her needs, being left all alone with no one to care for her. But here we find that Jesus had compassion on this smelly, dirty, hopeless leper. He had compassion on him. And we see his compassion visualized in what he did. What did Jesus do? He came, when that leper came to him, Jesus sympathetically had compassion upon him. And every time Jesus had compassion on somebody, notice, think back over the examples that I just gave you. How did Jesus respond? He didn't just say, I really feel bad. I'm sorry. No, he fixed the problem every time. He took care of the situation. He healed the young man, rose one from the dead, and he fed the people. He cared for the people. He met their needs. Jesus had compassion on them. And here again, we find that Jesus didn't just say, well, you poor leper, I'm sorry I can't come near you, and there's nothing I can do, but I do feel sorry for you. He didn't do that. He took care of the need. And what did he do? How did he respond? We find three ways that it shows his compassion. Number one, he stretched forth his hand. Toward the leper? Yeah. He reached out toward the leper. And then, to make it worse, he touched him. Nobody in their right mind would touch a leper. It was against the law. It was foolish to touch a leper. You touch a leper and you're going to get leprosy. Jesus reached out to him and touched him. You know, you stop and think with me for a moment. That man, if he was in advanced stages of leprosy, he may have been that way for 10 or 15 or 20 years. Little slowly seeing his body decay and fall apart. And he's just an emaciated mess as he comes to Jesus asking for help. Nobody had touched him. He had never felt the touch of a loving hand for years. And now Jesus, for the first time, walked up to him, reached out his hand and touched him. That alone was compassion. Just to see that Jesus loved him and cared enough to even touch him. Nobody had done that for years. And now Jesus touched him. But not only that, we find that Jesus spoke healing to him. He said, I will, be thou clean. We're going to look at more of that in just a moment, so we won't go into that. But he had compassion on him. He reached out and touched him. He spoke healing to him. Jesus didn't just wish him well. And you know, as we compare this, as I mentioned in the beginning, as we compare leprosy to the sin of our world and the sin of our own hearts, we find that when a sinner comes to Jesus for spiritual cleansing, Jesus will have compassion on him. You know, if you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus to save your soul, if He has never changed your life, you know, there's a big difference between being religious and knowing Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. Huge difference. Just this morning, I saw one of my religious neighbors heading off to their religious service. My heart kind of went out to them, thinking, poor soul, they're going to go to a church that tells them they're okay, say your prayers, confess your sin to the priest, you'll be fine. And I thought, how sad. What that neighbor needs is not to go and have a religious service so they tell them they're okay. They need to have someone say, listen, Jesus died for you to pay for your sin, to wash you clean. And if you will come to Jesus and say, Lord, would you please cleanse me? He will give you eternal life. That's what they need. And Jesus, when we come to Him for spiritual cleansing, as this leper did, you know, the leper came to Jesus. He came to Him. He saw his need. You know, that's the greatest problem that we have when a person needs to be saved, is to overcome that I have a great need. That's a hard thing for us to admit, because we all want to think, well, I'm doing okay. I'm decent. I don't hurt anybody. I'm okay. But what we really need is we need to be willing to say, God, I'm not okay. Just recently, I talked to a man and asked him whether he ever gives spiritual things any consideration. He said, oh, not very much. And he wasn't really interested. I talked to him a little bit more. And I said, you know, the Bible says that there's only a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And you certainly don't want to go to hell. Oh, yeah, that's if you believe all that stuff. I said, well, it doesn't really matter whether you believe it or not. That doesn't make it true or false. That just is that's your opinion. Something that is factual is still factual whether you believe it or not. And I said, I'm concerned for you. I don't want you to go to hell. And I do believe the Bible, and I believe the Bible tells the truth, and without Christ, you're going to miss heaven. I don't want that. But you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't see that. The hardest thing for us to do is to say, I have a great need. I am a sinner. I am guilty. I do deserve to go to hell. I do not deserve to go to heaven, and I need help. That's the hardest thing. But this leper saw that. He knew deep down inside there was no way he was going to fix himself. Nobody could fix leprosy. Jesus was his only hope, and he came to Jesus and said, would you please heal me? You know, that's what we need to do if we have a spiritual need. We need to come to Jesus. So we see Jesus' compassion. Next, I want us to notice Jesus' command. In verses 41 and 42, verse 41 again at the end of the verse, starting verses, and Jesus moved with compassion. He put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. All right, now as we look at this, first notice the preface of this command. Jesus, he had just asked Jesus, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What did Jesus say? He said, I will. Now, what was he saying by that? He says, I will do that. It is my will. It is what I want to do, and I will heal you. Jesus reached out to him with compassion, but he said to him, I will. And then Jesus healed him. He said, I will, be thou clean. Now, did Jesus heal every sick person that came to him? Nobody knows. I don't know. I don't find any place in the Scripture where someone came to Jesus and Jesus said, sorry, you're too hard, I can't do that one. He didn't do that. But whether he healed every single person that came to him, I don't know. But we do know this, he was able. He had the power to do that. And he was not limited in his ability. Now, does he heal every sick person today? No. Why? Well, several reasons. We'll look at some of those in a moment. But when we say no, let's just think of some Bible examples. You know, if there was anyone in the Bible that you could say was a spiritual person who was walking with God, that person would be the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a great preacher. He walked with God. He was a man of prayer. He was a powerful soul winner and just a great servant of God. And yet, the Apostle Paul tells us that he prayed 3 times that God would heal him, and God told him no. Now, why would God do that? Well, he told him why. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, God said to him, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. God said to him, 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. What was he meaning by that? He was saying, when you are weak and you are sick and you can't do it by yourself and you can't fix your problem, you are going to depend on me. And then I'll make you strong. Not take care of your sickness, but I'll give you the strength you need to get through life. And you know, some of you right now are going through some sick times. You've had difficulties. You've had problems. You've got aches and pains. And the older we get, the more we get. And you have issues that you just can't seem to overcome. And you say, why doesn't God fix my problem? I don't know, but one reason may be just the same reason He gave Paul. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You'll depend on me. And how did Paul respond to that? Did Paul say, it's not fair, God. You're treating me bad. You heal all these other people, why don't you heal me? Is that how Paul responded? Not a chance. Look what he said. He said, most gladly, the end of verse 9, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, from this point on, I'm going to glory in my infirmities that the power of God may be upon my life. Now, what's it mean to glory in our infirmities? That's to say, well, I'm glad I'm sick. Sometimes it's not easy to be glad you're sick. Paul was saying, I'm glad that I got this infirmity. It's okay. God will see me through. He'll strengthen me through this. He'll give me the dependence on Him. You know, if we were always well and everything was always fine, we would neglect God. And we wouldn't depend on Him. I can do this one by myself. I don't need to pray about this one. But when we are weak, we have to depend upon God. We have to pray. We have to trust Him. We have to ask Him for help in each one of our situations. And so Paul learned that in his life. Now, God is always able to heal, but He does not always find it His will to do so. Now, we might say, but that doesn't seem very nice. That doesn't seem very fair. What we need to remember is God is sovereign. He knows all things. He knows what is best. He knows what is best for me. He knows what is best for you. And we may look at it and say, but it doesn't look best to me. I think best would be feeling good instead of feeling bad. I think best would be not to be sick instead of be sick. But He sees the whole picture. I've used the illustration in time past, but I can't think of a better one. You ladies that maybe have ever done some cross stitch. You know, you got this beautiful little picture you're working on. And on the back, you take and put your needle through there and pull through and you tie all your knots on the back. The back of it looks a mess. You take a back of one of those cross stitch things, it's a mess. But you turn it over and look at the front, it looks beautiful. Now, why is that? It's because the front is what's supposed to be seen. And same with us. We look at our situation from the back and we say, looks bad to me, God. And God looks down and says, looks perfectly good to me. Because He sees the beautiful side of it. He sees what is the best for us. And sometimes God allows us to go through troubles and allows us to go through trials and allows us to go through sickness and hardship or even death. Because He said it's the best thing in my situation. It's the best for me. And I may look at it and say, well, it doesn't seem very best to me. But God knows what's best. And from His perspective, He looks down on it and says, it's beautiful. It brings glory to me. And so we need to remember to see things from God's perspective instead of from our perspective. It's not easy to do. I'll be the first to admit. You know, when I'm sick, I feel like, God, would you please fix me? I don't feel good. I need help. I want to get rid of this. I want to feel like I'm well. And God may say, no. You depend more on me when you're sick. So I'm going to keep you sick. And I need to turn it around and say, okay, God. I will then be happy that I'm sick. I'll be happy that I don't have the strength that I used to have. I'll be happy that I can't do what I could do if I was healthy. And that's the right attitude, but it's a hard attitude, I'll admit. It's the hard thing, but it's the right thing to do. And we need to look to God for that strength. Now, next, consider the power of His command. We saw the preface to His command, how He said, that, yeah, I will, I'll heal you. But the power there. Jesus spoke a one-word command. It's three words in English. In the Greek, it's one word. And He spoke a one-word command, be thou clean. That's all He did. He didn't wave His hand over him. He didn't make a long speech. He said, be clean. One word in the Greek. And he was clean. Perfectly well. One-word command fixed it. Now this one word is all it took for the leprosy to be gone. It departed from him. He was clean. If that leper had lost fingers and toes and nose and ears and he had all, instantly they were there again, healed. Can you imagine the elation? Can you imagine the excitement? Can you imagine the awesome feeling? I am well! I got my fingers back! I don't feel any pain anymore! I don't even smell anymore! It was an awesome time for him. Instantly, God healed him. We find examples of this in the Scripture. God's not short on His ability to heal. Remember back in the Old Testament, in the life of Elisha, in 2 Kings chapter 5, we read the story of a man named Naaman. He was a captain of the army of Syria. And he had a little maid that he had gotten in some of their raids of Israel. There was an Israeli little girl. And this Israeli little girl, instead of turning bitter and hateful toward God because she was captured and now a slave of Naaman up in Syria, she still loved God. And she told her mistress one day, sure is a shame that Master Naaman couldn't go see the prophet down in Israel. He'd heal him of his leprosy. Well, word got to Naaman, and he said, he probably called in the little girl and said, "What? Tell me that again. You say there's a guy down in Israel that can heal me with his leprosy?" "Yeah, the prophet of Elisha, he could do that. He's a powerful man." And so Naaman went to the king and said, "Hey, send me down there to Israel. There's my little girl says that prophet down there can heal me." He said, "Well, give it a try. Take a bunch of presents with you." So he took a bunch of gold and presents with him, goes down to see them, and he didn't know where to find Elisha, so he went to the king. And he said to the king, "You know, I came down for you to heal me of my leprosy." The king tears his clothes and says, "Who do you think I am? I can't heal your leprosy. I think you're just picking fights with us, ready to make war with us." And Elisha heard that the king tore his clothes and says, "Hey, what's going on? How come king tore his clothes?" "Oh, because this nut from up north came down here to get healed of leprosy." And Elisha said, "Send him to me." And he came to Elisha. And Elisha didn't even bother to go to the door. He sent a servant to the door. The guy knocked on the door, and the servant went to the door and said, "Yes, can I know why you're here. You came to get healed of leprosy." And Elisha sends word to you. He says, "Go down to the Jordan River and dip in the river 7 times and you'll be healed." And Naaman slams the door shut and he says, "I can't believe it. The guy didn't even come out to see me. I thought he'd come out and wave his hands over me, say some big prayer and I'd be well." He didn't do any of that stuff. He sends his servant to me and tells me to go wash in the dirty old Jordan River. He said, "Back home, we got nice clean rivers. Why would I want to wash in the old dirty Jordan?" And his servant said to him, "Master, he didn't ask you to do something hard. He just said, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Why don't you give it a try?" And he says, "Well, okay." He went and washed in the Jordan, dunked 1 time, 2 times, still the old stinky leprosy, 3 times, 4 times, 5, 7 times he came up. And the Bible says his skin was as clean and new as a baby. We find the text in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." God instantly healed him. He was clean. And he rejoiced at what God had done for him. Now, God is able to do great things. God doesn't always choose to do those great things for us. But he's able. No shortage of power on God's part. And we need to remember that. Now, since God does heal some people today, why doesn't he heal everybody? Why don't we see more of these healings of God today? Well, there's several reasons I'd like to point out to you that maybe have helped you. First of all, it is not because of his lack of power. Jeremiah 32:17. "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast created the heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." God's got the power to do it. It may be because we don't ask. James chapter 4, verse number 2 says, "Ye have not because ye ask not." It may be because we ask with wrong motives. James chapter 4, and verse number 3, "Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." He says, you're just asking for your own greedy lusts. That's why God didn't answer. Sometimes that's why. Another reason may be because we stop praying too soon. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1 says, "And And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint doesn't mean to tip over and pass out. It means to quit. He said, men ought always to pray and not quit. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. One of the reasons we don't get the answers is because we don't pray long enough. We quit too soon. We need to keep on praying. It's not that God can't hear. It's God wants us to be persistent. Wants to see how determined we are to get our prayer answered. Another reason is because sometimes we have sin in our life. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Another reason may be because we're not obeying the Bible. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 9 says, if we don't keep the laws of God, that He will, our prayers will be an abomination to Him. He won't listen. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7 says, sometimes it's because discord in the home. You know, if you and your wife aren't getting along, your prayers aren't going to go anywhere. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Husband and wife aren't getting along, God doesn't listen to their prayers. Shuts them right off. Because they won't listen. Sometimes that's a reason. We may spiritually need the ailment. We saw that in Paul's life in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. God might say, no, I'm not going to heal you because you need that to keep you humble and keep you depending on me. It may also be because it's not God's sovereign will. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, and this is the record that we have of Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. He said, if we know that it is His will, He will answer that. Sometimes it isn't God's will. Like with Paul's life, God says, no, that's not my will, I'm not going to do that. And sometimes God tells us no because it wasn't His will. And we shouldn't get mad at God and say, God, you're not fair. No, God answered, but He just didn't answer the way I asked Him. He said, it's not my will. It's not what I want. And you know, deep down inside, I don't want something that God says isn't my will. And if you're wise, you don't want it either. You know, to say, God, I want it anyway. And God gives it to you, you might be sorry. Because God says, no, that wasn't what was best. I don't want that for you. And so, these are some of the reasons why we don't get our prayers answered. But God is certainly able. And you know, again, once as we think about the leprosy and the spiritual healing of the soul, God promises that He is willing to heal the soul of the unbeliever. He's not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, Lord, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's His desire. So we know that if we come to Him with our soul in need of His saving grace, that He will save us, because He said He's not willing that any should perish. That is His will, to heal our soul. Sin will ruin our life. Sin will destroy our life and send us to hell. Without Christ, we have no hope. Like leprosy, there's no cure except Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can save your soul from hell. No one else can. Church can't. Religion can't. Being good can't. Jesus alone can do that. And if you will repent and place your faith in Him alone, just like that leper, you can come to Him and say, Lord, would You heal me? And He will. He will. Now, when we come to the Lord for salvation, we can be sure of this. It's not like that in our prayer for healing, we don't have to wonder, well, I wonder if it's God's will. It is God's will. 2 Peter 3:9, He's not willing that any should perish. So we know it is God's will to save your soul. If you will humble yourself before God and bow the knee before Him and say, God, would You please save my soul? He will. You've got His promise on it. You can depend upon it. He said He would. And God is not a liar. He will save your soul and heal your soul and give you eternal life. So we see here, first of all, we saw Jesus' compassion. Second, we saw Jesus' command. Now I want us to see the charge that He gave this leper. In verse 43, it says, and He straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. Now, the phrase straightly charged, it means he gave him a very stern, almost threatening charge. And notice what the charge was in verse 44. And he saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man. Now let's just stop there for a moment. That's pretty strong in English. It's even stronger in the Greek. He said, say nothing to nobody is what it says. Say nothing to nobody. I don't want you to tell anybody about this. Now that was a direct command. It wasn't an option. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. And then he said, I want you to immediately, our text says, forthwith, he sent him away. He said, I want you to immediately go see the priest and offer what Moses commanded for a clean leper to offer. Now you can study more into that. Leviticus chapter 14, verse number 4, just the basics of it. It started out, there was other things they had to do later on, but the start of it was they were to bring two living clean birds and some cedar wood and some scarlet and hyssop. And they were to make a special offering to God as a thank you for healing me of this leprosy. And then there's some other things they did a little bit later on. But you can study more into that Leviticus 14. But he was to do that. Jesus said, I want you to go straight to the priest and this is what you need to do. Do what Moses said to do. His charge was very discerning. Not only was it firm, but it was discerning. Why did Jesus say that? Why would Jesus say, do not tell anybody? And what did he expect the guy to do? I mean, he'd just gotten over his leprosy. He'd been a leper for who knows how many years. He hadn't been with his family for a long time. And to go back home, and he's not supposed to tell anybody? That seems a bit unreasonable. Why would Jesus say such a thing? Well, we find the answer here as we read on. I think that Jesus was discerning. He wanted him to, first of all, go to the priest. He wanted the priest to see firsthand this guy that we've all known for years, was the decaying, dirty, old, smelly leper. He is now healed. And he wanted the priest to see that. And he wanted to obey what the law said. So Jesus wasn't trying to break the law here. He says, go do what the law says. Offer these offerings to God. And I want the priest to see with his own eyes the healing there. But Jesus told him not to tell anybody because he knew that it would hinder his work. Jesus knew that it would hinder his work. Now, why would that be? The multitudes were very excitable. And remember, after Jesus fed the 5,000, plus men and women and children, or plus the children and the wives, what happened? The people thronged to him. And Jesus came to him and said, listen, you're not here because you want my help. You're here because you want more food. See, they were all excited about the miracles. And Jesus knew that if word got around that here's the miracle worker, here's this, bring all your problems to him, he'll fix them all. He's the miracle worker. They came with the wrong motive. They were coming to see him do these wonders and miracles, not to hear him preach. His preaching was the part that was important. Remember, he came preaching the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus came to pay the debt of our sin, to forgive us and cleanse us. That's the important part. If Jesus would have just came and healed all the sick and gone to heaven and not done anything to fix our sin problem, he would have failed. Because he didn't come just to fix our sick problems. He came to save our souls. And to get their focus off of what he came for and onto the things that were exciting was the wrong focus. Jesus said, that's not what I want. I want them to focus on the preaching, not on the miracles. And so Jesus told him, don't tell anybody. Now the delighted, healed man flatly disobeyed. He didn't obey him at all. Instead, he published it. Now that word published is the word we saw last week. It was translated preached. It was the word that means to herald it, to tell everybody. And that's what he did. He went around and told everybody. Jesus said, don't tell anybody. And he went and did the opposite. He told everybody he came to. And he'd be walking down the street just all excited. What are you all excited about? I'm the old leper. I got healed. Jesus healed me. Woo! And he'd tell everybody. Everybody spread it abroad. The scriptures say that he blazed it abroad. He blazed abroad the matter. Literally, he spread abroad the word. He told everybody. Spread the word everywhere. I'm the healed leper. Jesus did it. What was the result? Well, the result was, down in verse number 45, and he went out and began to publish it much and blazed abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Jesus could no longer enter a city in the open daylight. Probably what would happen is Jesus, first thing in the morning before sun was up, he'd probably say, let's get out of here, let's go out into the country. And he'd go out and stay in the country and preach during the day. And when the sun went down and nobody could really see him, he'd go back into town. And when he had to go to town for those kind of times, he couldn't enter into the city openly, because if he did, the people were there. They were going to, remember, there was a time in Jesus' ministry where they were going to crown him the king. Here's the Messiah. He's going to give us victory. He can heal all our problems. He can certainly get rid of Rome too. Let's make him king. And they were going to have an overthrow. And Jesus said, hang on. That's not what's going on. That's not what I want. That's not what I came for. I came to die for your sin. You don't catch on to what's going on yet. And they had the wrong motives. So Jesus said, I can't even enter the city anymore, because if I did, there'd be a riot. There'd be an uproar. The people would kind of try to make me king. And that's not what God's will is. And so Jesus had to minister out in the country, in the solitary places, places where he was all by himself. He'd go out in the hills and the mountains where people went around. And people would hear he was there. And from all over, they'd come and say, hey, we heard that Jesus is out there in the mountains over in the east. Let's go over there and check him out. Oh, today he's over on the west. Let's go check him out. He's over there. And they would come from all over the place to see Jesus. They still came, but it wasn't the uproar that would have been if he was in the towns. Could no longer meet in the towns. Had to avoid those. Changed his ministry. Remember, before they were going from town to town preaching. Now he couldn't do that anymore. Why? Because a leper disobeyed his command. You know, sometimes the Lord gives us commands and we think, I just don't understand that. That doesn't make good sense to me. If I did it my way, I think it'd be better. And we do it our way instead of God's way, and it makes a mess of things every time. See, even when we don't understand why God says what he does, it's still the right thing to do to obey God. You know, there are times when we say, I don't get it. Why should I have to obey God in that? Why should I have to be baptized after I'm saved? Because God said so. Why should I join the church and get involved? Because God says so. Why should I do it? You know, oh, why do I have to do these things? Because God says so. And we say, but I don't get it that way. It doesn't matter what we get. What we need to do is just say, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what God told me to do and obey him, because if I do, he'll be honored and I'll be blessed. See, we just need to obey God. And this guy didn't do that. Thought he was probably helping the Lord, telling everybody. He probably thought, you know, if I tell everybody, there are going to be more people come to Jesus. And look at, he'll be able to heal all these people. Jesus had a broader perspective. He saw beyond the excitement and the healings to the real message of why he was there. And he had to go elsewhere in order to keep things from getting out of proportion. And so this morning, we've compared leprosy to sin. Sin is a terrible plague. Sin is an incurable plague. Sin is something that you can't fix in your life. And if you're here today and are not 100% positive, if you dropped over dead right now, that you go to heaven, you need to listen carefully. Because Jesus Christ came to save your soul. But you have to come to him humbly like that leper and say, Lord, I know there's nobody, there's nothing that I can do that can fix my problem but you. You're the only one. And if you don't fix me, I'm going to go to hell forever. And you need to come to him believing that he is able and say, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And you have God's word on it, 2 Peter 3:9, that it is his will to save your soul. And you can come to him and say, Lord, you promised in 2 Peter 3:9 that if I came to you begging you for salvation, that you would forgive my soul and give me eternal life. And he said he will if you will come to him. But you have to come to him. You have to ask him to save your soul. He's not going to force you. He's not going to pin you in a corner. You've got to come to him. If you've never done that, or if maybe you've made some pretense at it, but it's never changed your life, you've never humbly repented of your sin and ask him to cleanse you and change you, and he's given you new life inside that changed your whole perspective on life. If that's never happened to you, you need to come to him. That's what he wants to do for you. You've got to make the choice. Repent by faith. Trust him. You know, if you are a Christian already, sin's going to cause us problems as well. Sin separates us from God's fellowship. It doesn't break our relationship, but it breaks our fellowship. And we get sidetracked and we get away from God. And we wonder why God's not answering my prayer because sin's in my life. And things are hindering and God's just not blessing because I'm not doing what's right. You know, if sin is in your life and there's problems between you and God that you need to get right, you are never going to be able to find peace until you humble yourself like that leper did and come to Jesus and say, Jesus, you're my only hope. I need you. Would you please forgive me and cleanse me? And John, 1 John 1:9 promises if we confess our sin, He is faithful and is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will do it if you'll come to Him. So Christian friend, if there's things between you and God and you know aren't right with you and God, you need to come to Him and ask Him for cleansing. If you haven't been obeying some of the commands that you know He has told you to do, you can make all the excuses in the world and say, well, I can't do it because of this and I can't do it because of that. That's not the point. If you're not obeying God, God can't bless you. If you will come to God and say, God, I was wrong. Would you please cleanse me? He'll do it. And then you get back on the right track and start doing what He told you to do. And He'll bless you. See, we just need to obey God. We need to do what God tells us to do. And so this morning, God's calling us to respond. This leper came to Jesus, begging for help. Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. Immediately he was cleansed. Jesus said, no, don't tell anybody. Go to the priest and make the offering. He didn't obey. And so this morning, as we learn from this, if you need to be saved, you need to come and say, God, I need your salvation today. And you humble yourself and you come see me after the service or even during the invitation time and say, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I need to get this nailed down. I need to be saved. I want to make sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I want God's cleansing and forgiveness. And Christian friend, if there's something between you and God, something in your life that you're not doing, something you know isn't right, you need to ask God to cleanse you and forgive you. And then you can be right with God. The cleansing's available. You got to tell.